Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle lesson from Philippians chapter 3. We have to have the right attitude, the right mindset to succeed. Well, many a book has been written about that, having the good attitude, power of positive thinking, and that kind of book, and others like it. For the most part, it's all true. A good attitude will tend to get you a lot farther than, say, a bad attitude. Kind of like evaluating yourself on a glass of water that's midway. Are you the kind of person who looks at it as half full? Or is it something that's half empty? Depends on your mindset, right? Depends on your attitude. And you kind of look at our readings for today in a similar fashion, perhaps along the way of this. Asking yourself the question, what were they thinking? Of course, now it depends on how you ask that question. What were they thinking? Kind of a different attitude, right? But as we're looking at this, well, we're going to take a look at our lessons here for today and find out exactly what were they thinking. Now, Paul begins in our lesson today. Brothers, join in imitating me and keeping your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I've often told you, and now even tell you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. You could boil down Paul's words here as like, well, be like me, not like them. Now, let's take a look at the them part here for today, as far as their attitudes go. Now, Paul, he starts out with talking about how their attitudes manifest themselves by saying that these people walk as the enemies of Christ. Now, Paul's saying here that these people are living lives contrary to the Word of God, that they're not following God's ways. And as we look at our Old Testament lesson for today, we can find out a prime example of what that really looks like. Jeremiah had just told the people there to repent. They need to change their ways. They need to go back from what they're doing and turn right back to the Lord. Now, when we talk about prophets here, well, that's one of the primary jobs of a prophet, is to tell the people, point out when they're sinning. And then comes the part that everybody remembers about a prophet. It's like, if you don't change, then something's going to happen. And it's that something going to happen part that we all tend to remember. Something in the future is going to happen. And that's what we tend to remember about prophets and prophecies here. And in particular case here for Judah, what's going to happen if they don't change? Well, they're going to get hauled off into captivity. And here comes why it is connected to our epistle lesson for today. What was the response of the people to Jeremiah's warning? Kill him! Right? We don't like what we've heard here, so let's haul off and kill this guy here. He's prophesied against the city here. We don't want anything to do with this guy. That's horrible. We need to kill him. Kill the messenger. How do you like that? We don't like what you have to say. You see, they no longer have the mindset of God. They want to do things their own way. And in so doing, they're rejecting God. You see, their thought process was at the time there, so like, well, if we've been doing something wrong against God, then he's going to do something right away. And he hasn't done it yet. So, must be okay. We're doing all right. The trouble, though, is it's their lack of understanding about God. You see, God is just being very patient with the people. He's allowing them time to repent of their sins. Now, the way this word patient used to be translated back in the day was long-suffering. Actually, I kind of prefer that translation because it gives an idea about patience then is something that, well, you suffer for a while until somebody changes there, right? It's like you're putting up with them for a while. God is putting up with his people here for a while, long-suffering, giving them an opportunity to change before the consequences set in. Even so, these people have completely rejected God's word. So it kind of begs the question there, what were they thinking? they kept their attitude the same towards God, and they were rejecting him. And in turn, they became enemies of God. And that's exactly what ties it in with what Paul was saying too. How people are being enemies of God. He's like, don't have their attitude. Follow me instead. Imitate me. And so how was Paul's attitude? How were the people to imitate him? Well, he's saying, have the attitude of Christ Jesus. Well, the people are thinking, it's like, well, what does that mean when it comes to the commandments and those kinds of things? Well, we need to keep at those commandments. And what should our attitude be towards those commandments that God has given us? The same as Christ Jesus. How did he summarize the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the attitude to have. That's the attitude of Christ. Yet in our world, much like in the people in Jeremiah's day, it's a little bit different. In Jesus' time, they thought a little bit differently too. They weren't having that attitude. They were having rather a bad attitude towards God. Hear Jesus' words again. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. Well, people in Jesus' day rejected him. People in our day today, for that matter, reject Jesus as well. And what's the common thread that runs through Jeremiah's day and Jesus' day? What is this? To whom were Jesus and Jeremiah's words directed? To a people who should have known better. To a people who should have known what is in God's word. To the children of Israel. You see, that's a risk that we fall into as well. We who are believers. Yet, if we fail to heed God's word, and if we fail to repent, we can be just like those folks too. How? Well, it happens to us when we listen to the words of the world. Now, sometimes when we listen to the words of the world, okay, it's not such a bad thing. But it is a bad thing, though, when those words run contrary to God's word. You see, when we start to let those influence and affect our own lives, well, then we can start to drift away from the Lord. And that's exactly what can happen. And as we drift away, we find out then that we are rejecting God outright. And that's the danger. But in the midst of that danger, there's a good thing that's going on here. Our God does not change. He remains long-suffering. He gives us opportunities to repent, to come and confess our sins. And he's provided that means for forgiveness. And we know about that. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who died for the forgiveness of our sins. You know this. This is why we come confessing our sins every Sunday. Doesn't have to be every Sunday. You can do that during the middle of the week, anytime during the day. But we come, make sure once a week that we do confess those sins. And we know that they are forgiven. Why? Yet again, it's something that we know. It is Jesus who went to the cross. Yes, indeed, that cross of Christ there means something. Because there on that cross, Jesus died for you and me, earning forgiveness of those sins. Again, we all know that it should have been you and I up there on that cross, dying for our own sins, but yet God is merciful. God forgives us our sins because Jesus did it on our behalf. But yet at the same time, though, he gives us something else. He gives us hope. Hear how Paul puts that in words. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Well, Paul puts it this way. Because the temptation to be like other people and thinking the way they do is strong. It is today as well. Listening to the words out there that draw us away from God. And therefore, that's why Paul puts that prize there front and center for them to remember and them to know. Heaven is our home. Paul put it in terms that would strike a chord with them. Talks about Roman citizenship there, talking about terms in citizenship. That was very important for them. If you were a citizen of Rome, you had all kinds of special privileges. So he says, your citizenship is in heaven. That affords you all kinds of privileges. Being there with God because you're forgiven. Being there with God in heaven forever. So we too should value that citizenship as well, above our own American citizenship. Truly, we have all kinds of freedoms and abilities because we're Americans, right? But more important, just like Paul points it out there, putting that prize out front, our citizenship is in heaven. That's something that we need to remember. Because truly that is a gift of God that he has given to us. And that's why Paul says, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord, because resist all those things that come your way. Because there will be a day when somebody will ask that question of you, what were you thinking? And you can respond with, I had my mind set on the mind of Christ. And when you do, you indeed find your citizenship is in heaven forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.